All right, let's do it. We're live, basically. I mean, it's not really live. It's
well,
just
we are
hopefully recording. It looks good. So
cool, alive yeah. And live.
Yeah, little break from the spectacle. You know, nice walk with some water,
cool.
Some ducklings. And
you chose a good spot. Chose a good spot.
I know my way around these woods.
You chose
I've
a good
been
spot.
Here. I've been here once or twice before.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So I told you I'm gonna grab you, and I'm gonna basically just kidnap you for like an hour or so.
I am kidnapped. I'm officially kidnapped, guys. You know what Gigi does now in his spare time.
That is my new hobby. It's kidnapping people,
you know,
and taking them on a walk.
It's official, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about design.
Yeah, let's talk about design.
Because, I think a lot of things have changed in the last couple of years. And now we not only vibe coding, we're vibe designing as well. I see
it
everywhere.
God. Yeah.
And I'm sure you have opinions.
I have opinions.
So tell me your opinions. Where do we stand in terms of Bitcoin design, design in the Nostra space, all those kind of things? Let's go.
So I'll start with what I've been learning. I've been seeing that I no longer need to call myself a UX designer. I can instead call myself an artist. I'm going to be totally down with you and be like, an artist is someone who creates. An artist is someone who creates their life. An artist is someone who creates in the ecosystem. Right now my role has changed in the ecosystem, and I am creating, designing, using AI in the Bitcoin ecosystem as well as in the Nostra ecosystem.
All right, so your plan for the next 1 or 2 years is to be really poor.
Gigi!
That's what artists are, no? Like, no one ever won any bread being an artist, or so, have things changed?
No, I mean, you know, I don't even know who said it, but it's like artists, you know, I believe Alex Gladstein said it on stage as well, or one of the other speakers said, it's like everyone is an artist, but everyone is an artist.
Living life is art.
Living life is art.
Yeah.
And so for me, I see design outside of the narrow spectrum of what we think design is. I see design as the moment the person actually sees the thing in the app store. I see design as the moment you tell your friend about the thing and you're like referring them to it. That's design.
Something hooks you, and it hooks you enough that you want to tell your friends about it.
Yeah, and the thing that I was saying to Jeff the other day, I was like, hey, if you can explain in one sentence to a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old what your thing is that you're building and what problem it solves, well, then you've got something good.
Yeah.
And I think we need to get a lot of the applications that we're building in the Bitcoin ecosystem and the Nostra ecosystem to that point.
Yeah.
Can you really explain what you're doing? Like, what problem does it solve in people's lives?
No, I can't. My family doesn't even know what I'm doing, so I obviously can't explain what I'm doing.
So before I even start with the design process, I try to get the developers that I'm working with to narrow it down to what problem are you solving and for who? And if you ask people that question, most of the time they don't know.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to a lot of Jack's podcasts as well. And Jack keeps on coming back with one thing. He's like, can you say it with one word? What is that thing that you do? Like, is it communication? Is it data? Is it, I don't know. It's, you can say it with one word, mm-hmm. really. So it's about narrowing down the scope of what you're building and bringing it to one profound action that solves a profound problem in a user's life.
Okay. And it might be education, it might be whatever, assets in the Bitcoin world or what have you.
And then you move into design.
Yeah, I see.
Then you think about like, okay, so like, what do they need to do? Like, what's the steps? You know, we're walking on this beautiful river right now, like next to this beautiful river. It's like, what are the steps that they need to take to solve that problem? And that's like your user experience, right? That's like all the clicks they're gonna take. That's the road you're walking them on. So the experience of the person starts before they even start looking at the interface.
Yeah. I see.
It's about pain. And I think we need to know more about the
what,
pain.
What pain point are you solving?
Pain are we solving? And the design, that's just one part of it. But we have like, in the Netherlands, there's this app, it's called Tiki. It's become a household name. Mm-hmm. It does one thing. Mm-hmm. The only thing it does is if we go out for
Splitwise.
It's basically going to be like I send you a link and you just pay half.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Right? That's where we need to get to get mainstream adoption of Bitcoin and Nostr applications. We needed to become like a, we needed to become a word that people just use. They don't even call it. It becomes an adjective, really.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the issue with that is that Bitcoin solves, like, I love the phrase, Bitcoin is different things to different people. Like,
totally.
That's been my go-to thing for
totally.
The last 10
totally.
Years or whatever. And what this translates to in that framework is, like, Bitcoin solves different pain points for different people, right?
That's it.
Like, because if you live through hyperinflation, then I don't need to explain Bitcoin to you. Like, at least not that aspect
totally.
Of Bitcoin.
Totally.
If you get debanked all the time, I don't need to explain Bitcoin.
Totally.
Like, the permissionless aspect of it to
yeah.
you and so on. So how are you thinking about all of that, like the various use cases in the like app and services ecosystem, which you've been very close to for a long time?
Like, I'm on it. Okay, so I'm going to come back to Jack again. I have been obsessed with the most recent podcast that he recorded. Every single company in the world is going to become a mini AGI.
All right.
Did you hear that podcast?
No,
okay.
I don't listen to podcasts. I just kidnap people and talk into a microphone.
I have listened to that podcast 3 times. Guess who got me to listen to the podcast? Jeff. Because every single time Jeff sends me a message, I end up going down like a rabbit hole that I didn't expect to go down. And then 3 hours later, I come out of the rabbit hole. I'm like, Jeff, what did you send me? And So I went down the rabbit hole. As I was coming here, I was listening to the podcast.
So the thesis is, just to summarize, intelligence at the center
okay,
of every business,
right? Super
simple.
So
yeah.
that's what Block did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Block is doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So Block.
That's what allowed them to slash like 40% of their workforce.
Yeah. Right, and if a million-dollar company like Block is using an intelligence layer
yeah.
to build its product and to move its product forward in the market and to find a market product fit, well, hey, we as the ecosystem need to be listening to that. So here's what I think. I think that the way that design is moving forward in the future is that if we can have a mini AGI in the Nostr ecosystem, we have a mini AGI in Bitcoin ecosystem. The mini AGI is essentially as simple as this. There's data in the AGI. The developers talk to the data. They find out information that they need. And they build solutions based on the data that they're reading.
So if you understand you correctly, what you're describing is basically the Bitcoin Design Initiative, but automated.
Yes. So it's going to go in 2 directions. The Bitcoin Design Guide, one of my roles right now in the ecosystem,
yeah.
is basically turning the Bitcoin Design Guide essentially into a scale file.
Yeah.
And then developers basically just popping that scale file into the development process.
Yeah, I see.
And building wallets.
Yeah.
And then the other part of my role that I'm doing this year is I'm collecting user stories from all over the world about how people are using Bitcoin, how people are using AI. I'm going to pop that into a skill file. Developers can do it. So we're walking next to the developers in their process. We're not saying, hey, go read this like 60-page article while you're building your wallet as a solo founder. It's not going to work. We need to be in time. So here's what I think. I believe every single company in the world is going to have, the smart companies are going to have a mini AGI layer. Everyone's going to talk to the layer. And as Jack said, they're going to let the users determine the direction of the product. And that flattens this hierarchy, right? Because then you're so close to the CEO. Before you walk into a meeting with the CEO, the truth, the data is already there, accessible for everyone.
Yeah.
And if we can create a mini AGI at the ecosystem level for Bitcoin and for Nostr, dude,
so what you're saying is you're in favor of mob rule.
What's that?
Mob rule? Being ruled by the mob? If the users can decide what kind of features that are going to end up in the product.
I don't totally want them to decide. But it's like, okay, let's say you have a Nostr app, yeah? Let's say you have a Nostr app. And all your users file things. Like, you can like build stuff based on what they're saying.
So the customer is always right.
No. No.
I like it. That was a quick no.
You also got to listen to your own like vision as the person who's building.
So
right?
There's a balance to be found somewhere.
There needs to be a balance. But I am properly bullish on the mini AGI concept. In fact, at the hackathon that we were just in, I kind of built a simplistic version of that on Nostr Relays. Dope.
Tell me more about that.
We built...
How was the experience for you going through the hackathon? And
I ended up with a Nostr developer.
Are we allowed to name names?
Maybe not. Let's just keep it anonymous for now.
Secret Anon Nostra developer.
So Anon was a Nostra developer, and he helped me. Now, forgive me. I don't know about all the bips and the nips and all the things. Yeah.
Don't worry. Anyway,
we basically built the flow where it analyzes all the different Bitcoin wallets. You pull in like the top on-chain Bitcoin wallets. You pull the repos in. You check what the users are saying, like, hey, this is not working, or this is not working. And then we split the data into protocol stuff or UX stuff. This is dope now. Because now we know in the wallet ecosystem, like, is it stuff more on the protocol layer, or is it like a quick fix in the UX layer, right? So we sorted through the data, we pulled it in, we wrote the data onto Nostra relays, we used some Nostra NIP or BIP to do the labeling because it already exists. And it's now public, like the repo's there. I just need to clone the repo and tweak the labeling structure. And then I build the same thing for Bitcoin and I build the same thing for Nostra. And then we have like super useful information. So I'm proper bullish on this mini AGI thing and data thing.
Okay.
And I know it's not like design, but I believe that that's how we're gonna like move into design. And how does that move into design? So imagine this. And I'm like going full.
Go.
I'm going full stream futuristic.
That's the reason why we go. Like you just
go. I'm going full stream futuristic now, yeah? Okay. Imagine there's a startup. Let's just, for instance, take a Nostra application that has, for some reason, like they got like hundreds and thousands of users. You got your developers, you got UX designers, you got CEO. Okay. The mini AGI operates at the center. It's going to pull in all of the data. Then when it pulls in all of the data, it's going to be like, okay, this is related to the settings. Okay, this is related to the privacy. Okay, this is related to the onboarding. Okay, this is related to send. This is related to messages. It's going to just link it. And then the developer, the team, opens it up. And they're like, yo, we've had like 80% of our complaints coming from privacy in the last 6 months. Let's just work on our privacy. So it's like this data layer is gonna like save them so much of time. They're not gonna need to look at individual like UX issues. Cause I know how the developers in the Bitcoin space and the Nostra space struggle to like, what do you prioritize? And I'd love to hear that from you as well. Like, how do you decide what you wanna prioritize when you're building something? Because you're usually just, people just walk up and say like, yeah.
Vibes, pure vibes
you
for
know,
me.
You know, if you can just build that cool thing, I'll be so happy. Just build it, you know?
It's a hard problem. It's a very hard problem. And I kind of wanna get you talking on kind of the problem space itself. Like, why is it so hard to design for Bitcoin in the first place? Like, why is Bitcoin design a thing? Can't you just like hire any design agency and you're just off to the races?
No, absolutely not.
Why?
We have a major psychological barrier.
Why is it so hard? People with like just experts at holding keys and stuff? Like, talk
so
me through it. Like, what
like,
are the issues?
The magician?
Why is Bitcoin so hard to design for?
Let me just put it in like super simple terms. We're saying to people, hey, we have like this magic internet money. Like, don't worry, you can't hold it in your hand, but just don't worry. Like, it's on your phone. Yeah. Come use it. Don't worry. It's
and
okay.
If you lose your phone,
lose your phone, you lose everything. Oh, and by the way, like, put your savings into it.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the 12 You're good. Words. And...
Here's the 12 words. Just put your savings into it. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
And then we want people to use it from all over the world?
Yeah.
Like,
don't take a picture afterwards. Don't ever press copy. Write it in handwriting.
Okay.
Stamp it into steel.
Like tech people, yeah, sure. We know how to set up our hardware, whatever, hardware wallet. We know how to do our tech stacks and all that. But like a normal everyday person, like, you know, so the biggest barrier, why is it so hard to design for Bitcoin? It's because our users have psychological barriers to using this technology that we're building. And I don't honestly think that we're addressing those psychological barriers enough in the design process. So like one of the things I did yesterday in my vibe design session, I created the skill file that you can basically just hand over like, it's my brain. I'll tell you how I made the skill file, by the way. It's my brain, like, dumped as a skill, like, as a skill file. You basically take the skill file, you run it through, it's specifically made for Bitcoin and Lightning wallets, by the way.
It's based, I guess, on the work you did on Bitcoin design. There is, like, with all the, do you present the seed phrase? How do you onboard a user to a Bitcoin wallet? How do you show a balance? You know, what is a set? And, like, all those
kind
of things.
And it's, like, it's all those, like, and then within that, I baked in all of these psychological barriers that I've come across.
Yeah.
Having speaking to like so many like people.
Why
who
do
use
I
Bitcoin
need
wallets?
To store the backup if my wallet is empty?
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, so the way design is moving now, we are going to have design on steroids. We are going to have agentic design, and we're just at the beginning of it. And here's what I think it's going to look like.
I like how bullish you are.
Okay. Here's what I think is, I'm just one step away. I just need to vibe code the flow in N8N. So here's what I'm going to be playing around with my new playground. I'm going to go to Claude Code. I'm going to ask it to build the agentic flow for me. I'm going to copy paste the code into N8N. I'm going to build an agentic flow. Here's what vibe design is going to look like in the Bitcoin ecosystem. You take the screenshots of the wallets. You upload it into my skill file on Claude. As the developer, you can ask it to prepare the design in the code of your code base. Mm. So if your code base is in React Native, be like, hey, prepare the design suggestions using React Native.
Mm.
Okay, vibe design on steroids. You can it in flow, skill files baked in. UX designer takes screenshots, uploads the screenshots into it, says execute at 12 o'clock when I'm sleeping, can run in the cloud.
Yeah.
Okay. It executes. Me, I go in, I review. I review the UX suggestions. I yay or nay, I delete.
Yeah.
I ask my agent to create a GitHub submission.
Yeah.
In the same code base, on the front end code base as the wallet. Click, filed.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, I think that's where it's trending. I mean, that's basically how I've been working the last couple of months. I just create GitHub issues and I will add screenshots if necessary and so on.
Yeah.
And I just have cron jobs running every night. Like, pick any open GitHub issue and fix it.
So
basically you just delay your prompts in some sense.
This is literally UX design on steroids. Yeah. I'm not saying that we can eliminate the UX designer because you need to have the human review at certain points in the process. Because otherwise it's clear.
You're leading into my next question, which is like, you're aware of the word of the year?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
It's slop.
Oh yeah. AI slop. O-M to the G.
So if you know a little bit about writing, you'll spot written slop instantly. If you know a little bit about photography, you'll know this generated photography, those kind of things.
Oh yeah.
And if you know a little bit about design, you'll notice design slop instantly.
Yeah.
Like, for example, for whatever reason, Claude Opus really likes like these pills.
If
there's pills everywhere,
then
it's just like, okay, that was like Opus 4.7 or whatever we have now. And like, there's like every model has their like favorite kind of UI thingies. Just take a look and it's like, okay, yeah, like that was GPT 5.4 or whatever.
Okay, how to eliminate AI slop. So
exactly.
I'm going to address two areas.
What are you going to do about this sloppy pasta?
One is copy, right? Because copy is design.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And one is actual, like...
So you tell the AI don't write like an AI?
So here's what I do. I'm going to speak from personal thing, yeah? I have a Substack which has like my human writing, which I've been doing for over 2 years now. I ask AI to reference all of my Substack posts, which I human
write in your voice.
And it writes it in my voice. It does a pretty amazing job.
Okay.
Step number one, so that's copy. That's how you reduce AI slop. Like as me, as a UX designer, you know, producing these GitHub
issues.
This is
not a Lightning wallet. It's a revolution.
Oh my God. AI hallucinates big time, dude. Okay, so that's the first thing. So we went through copy. Then we're going to go into design. There's a website called mobin.com. It's a paid website. It's actually for they basically save screenshots of some of like the best in class applications in the world that have hundreds and thousands of users.
Yeah.
Cash App is there, Revolut is there, Wise is there.
I mean, how does it go? Good designers copy, great designers steal, right?
Copy, yo. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. So here's what you do. You grab screenshots. You like the design of that?
Yeah.
You sign up for Mobin. What? It's $10, $12 a month. And that's what my skill file includes, by the way. My skill file asks them to like check in Mobin for like things that inspire them. You just grab it. You screenshot it. You ask AI, hey, can you please extract the best design practices from this from a UI perspective for me, please? Extracts it. Next prompt. Hey, can you apply these best in design practices to the thing I'm building right now? Bob's your uncle. You will be surprised at what it comes up with.
Yeah, yeah. And it gets better every week, basically.
I've given two developer workshops where I'm training like new developers on how to like do this agentic flow. And we're like sitting there behind a computer. We're like, ooh, we can't wait to see what comes out. Because it's just like, it's so cool.
Yeah,
what it's able to come up
right?
with. Yeah. Like besides, like the old way of UX design is like, and then you move it around in Figma, and then it was like painful pixel pushing.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It's. Do you think that's because that's on the programming side as well? Programming, like coding itself, writing lines of code is very painful. It's a very painful process.
Yeah.
And this is basically like AI has completely eliminated. For like 99.9% of coders, it has completely eliminated this part of the job, basically. You think for designers it's similar or the same?
Yeah.
Like pixel pushing is not a thing anymore?
I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in the design ecosystem now for 4 years, 4 or 5 years, mostly in the Bitcoin ecosystem. I can count the number of times I've actually worked in a Figma file because I have colleagues like Christoph Ono, who have been designers for like 10 years, who just create absolutely beautiful designs. I'm like, yo, can you send me the Figma file, please? He just sends me the Figma file. I do my own tweaks.
Yeah, I see.
And
you focus on one level higher, basically.
I focus
and have
on the
always,
level.
You have always focused on a higher level.
I always focus on the like zoomed out. So my role now in the ecosystem is like where I'm at is what skill files do I create to turn developers of every single Bitcoin wallet into a, having like a UX designer? How do I turn Nostr developers into designers too?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, here's a skill file for you. Hey, here's a skill file for you. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
Right?
I told you about how sound will just magically appear.
There it is.
Yeah, there
okay,
it is.
Okay, let's, okay. Yeah, okay. No, but I'm loving this conversation because it's like what we're talking about is agentic flows, UX design, Bitcoin, and data at the center of everything.
You know. I want to switch to Nostr in a minute, but before we do, obviously we haven't managed to solve all the UX issues around Bitcoin.
Oh, no.
If you could wave a magic wand and fix like one issue in the Bitcoin design space.
Oh, can I say two, please?
You can do your top three. If you want to do top three, like, let's go.
Okay.
There's no rules to this, but you have a magic wand, you can wave it. Which one would you solve?
Okay, I have them. They like literally just exploded here into the front of my brain. I have them. Okay, I'm going to say them out loud and then go through each. Copy is number one. Number two is error messages. Number three is fees. Okay.
Oh, really? Oh, you've been working on Lightning wallets.
Let me dive into each one.
I'm surprised by these answers. They're very biased. They're very Lightning biased. I can already tell.
Okay. Yeah. I've been working on Lightning wallets. Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. So, number one, copy. Guys, people don't know what Tor is. Just use human. Speak human. Like,
developers don't speak human.
Do you want a more privacy for your wallet, or would you like to use this? Or even simpler, would you like to use the recommended settings? They don't need to know Tor's under that. Would you like to use the recommended settings, or would you like to use the, I don't know, regular settings or something? I don't know. But just keep the complexity. I know you have to reveal certain things in terms of information, but like, keep the language simple. If we want global adoption, if we want people in Africa, if we want people in South America who are non-native English speakers to use Bitcoin and Lightning wallets, guys, speak human.
All right, copy. Your biggest issue is copy.
Copy is number one.
All right.
Number two, fees. I recently used a wallet. I'm not going to mention the name of the wallet. because this exists across many of
this
us.
This is the nicest dialogue ever recorded in No Solutions. Usually we mention all the names and we just shit on people all the time.
I'm polite. Yeah, I'm so polite. Okay.
It's a nice change.
Okay, check it out. So I use the wallet. I'm about to click send. It says the fee. It shows me the amount I'm sending on the interface. And then it shows me the fee in small. The fee is like always like in like 10 times smaller size font than the send amount. But then it doesn't add those two amounts together. It waits. The wallet will wait until I click send. And then it says, it will say error 401-32AB. And I'm like, but sometimes if you're lucky, the wallet will say...
Let's say you want to send basically your whole balance and you have to make room for fees and you don't really know what the fees are. That's what you're describing?
It's a simple calculation. Just show the users
the amount. Believe me, it's not simple.
In combination with the fees. Okay.
Fee estimation is not simple.
Show them the final calculation once it's done and then confirm with them that they have sufficient balance in their wallet to send this. Don't error message it.
Yeah.
Right, which brings me to my third point: error messages.
Don't you like error codes?
Oh,
what's wrong with error codes?
Please, it's painful, man. You know,
just copy paste it, post it to GitHub.
Firstly, we say we want global adoption. Yeah, but then we give people these Bitcoin and Lightning wallets, and we're like, yeah, no, don't worry, you put your savings in here, and you can save in here. But you know, when you click send. And there's some error, you just get this like developer code, which comes back to like error 3015X. Oh yeah, okay. So put error messages in, like inform the user what went down. That's it, so simple. Because they want to feel safe when they're sending their thing, you know.
I think that's the main issue that I encounter. I've onboarded a lot of people to Bitcoin and like, you know, over the years and watch them and, you know, like basically watch them grow up and so on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And kind of the nervousness that's there every time you interact with Bitcoin. That it just, as it is still now, it usually takes a long while for it to go away because you're always afraid that you click something wrong, do something wrong, and everything is gone. And like rightly so, like because it can happen.
I mean, I had an experience with a wallet where it was splitting the UXTOs, like some of the wallet splits it, right? But then guess what happened? Let's say you have your balance and you're doing a send transaction. This particular wallet.
We're not gonna name names.
I sent a small amount. But you know what it does? As it was splitting the UXTO, it cleared the whole balance. So I'm staring at
my screen. You look at the zero,
Dude.
But that's just how it works technically.
No. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what I felt in my stomach in that moment when I saw that zero on the screen,
gone.
I'm like, okay, it's all gone. It's gone. Done. There's nothing.
So we still have UX issues. That's what you're trying to say.
We have UX issues.
Okay.
And these are not UX issues. We don't even have to use the word UX. We just call them human. This is just human. Speak human. So I feel like all the time I've been in this ecosystem.
I mean, we have human issues as well.
It's just
par for the course.
I feel like we just need to speak human. And if we all just speak human a little bit more, I think we'll get a lot further.
And paradoxically, you think that AI is going to help you. It's going to help us with that.
If you inject the right copy review into AI, we did it with the app Revive design session that we did yesterday. We're like, produce the copy for the level of a 15-year-old. This is built for a non-native English speaker living in Africa.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Nice.
Pretty sweet what it's able to do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, a super easy task could be just grab a few wallets, run it through like a copy review.
Yeah.
File issues. That's pretty low lift.
Yeah.
I think that'll already have pretty massive impact. I know it seems like a small thing, but I think that in itself will have massive impact.
All right. I think there's a lot of low hanging fruits. I mean, obviously, like even more so on the Nostra side, it's still younger. It's still more experimental, even though we are out of, you know, like, Nostra is not an infant anymore. It's been around for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
But I still think when it comes to communicating with normal humans in terms of, I don't know, like just talking about NPUPs and NSACs and SAPs and Nostawala Connect and whatever. It's just, there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that most people that get onboarded into Nostr have to work through a couple of weeks of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
I onboarded lots of people to Nostr as well.
Oh, you have? How's and it what going? What are you noticing?
Very similar issues as with the Bitcoin onboarding. Way less risk. But mostly, like usually you onboard people and it doesn't matter how often you repeat the, you know, private key stuff and sex stuff, like put it in your password manager and so on. People usually don't, and then they lose their phone. Oh, and then they're like, oh yeah, I'm on Nostr. And then they'll just, you know, like maybe they find their NPUB again because it's public.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
they paste it into a Nostr client and they think they're back on Nostr because it actually works, but it's like a read-only use, right?
Oh man.
And so I encountered that a bit. Ouch. Yeah, yeah. Where it's just like, no, your account is actually gone. You can't do anything. No one can help you, but you can still view your thing.
You're going in the wrong direction.
I know. Oh, we'll turn around soon enough, as you know. Too many Bitcoiners around
too
here.
Too many. Too
yeah.
many.
Yeah, too many.
What are the chances, yeah?
you think we're going in the... Because we just heard we're going in the wrong direction. Yeah. Little do they know that we're always going in the right direction.
We're always going in the right direction.
Everyone else is actually wrong.
And, you know, just with what you said, seriously, I do honestly think that the Bitcoin and the Nostr ecosystem is going in the right direction.
All right, good.
All things said, I do believe it is going in the right direction. I believe that we have enough people in the ecosystem who genuinely care about human freedom enough to ensure that this gets to a good level.
Yeah.
So I feel very
So you
optimistic.
Remain bullish.
I remain optimistic.
Yeah.
I do. I honestly do. Like when I look at what people are building, I mean, I know someone right now in the Nostr ecosystem who's building a Google Drive clone.
Oh, yeah. Marty Malmy.
Marty!
Let's go.
Marty.
He's killing it.
Marty is a shizzles, man.
Yeah. If you think you're using a lot of tokens, you haven't seen what Marty's doing.
I mean, if Marty's not sitting behind his computer...
He's actually walking around with his computer in hand.
He just... His computer, it needs to be attached to his hands. Yeah. And then he has everything.
He needs one of those things. You know, there's things that you can strap around, like, your belly, basically. And you have a standing desk with you at all times.
I was like... I was trying to help him out with the UX of... what's the Nostr app that he built? I forget the name.
Iris.
Iris. I was trying to help him out with the UX of that. He helped me to clone the repo and everything. But he's just building so many things so fast.
He's rebuilding his whole software stack, everything that he needs to use from scratch and building it on Nostr. Like he built Nostr VPN. I actually kidnapped him and went on a walk with him in Madeira. And we talked about it. And so
I love the stuff he's doing.
Yeah,
he's doing is very unique because he's looking at it from the perspective of like, and that's a very good perspective. Because it's like, okay, what are like the mainstream applications that people are using every day?
Yeah.
Oh, cool, let's just build on top of Nostr.
And he's building it for himself, basically. Like, Nostr Double Ratchet is basically Signal. You know, like the music thing he's building is basically Spotify. The document thing you mentioned is basically Google Docs.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
and so it. He's building it for himself, which comes back to, again, the mob rule, like letting the community decide versus, you know, having a vision and direction and being the benevolent dictator that just pushes the project forward. Because, you know, like Linux, for example, had a very benevolent dictator mechanic and went very, very far and is still going far.
Oh, there we go.
And other, you know, other projects had a different approach. Maybe Wikipedia would be an example. In the early days, it was very, very like communal and democratic and everyone could edit and everyone could do everything.
Yeah.
And they got really far as well. So I think both approaches can absolutely work.
I admire both approaches, you know, because... Once again, I listened to a lot of podcasts. I listened to another podcast of Jack, and he was just like, just build stuff. Just build things. Like when you see some of the most successful applications on the market, they often fall into two categories. We have a unicorn. I call it the unicorn category. And then the other category is the category which Marty is building for you. So I'm going to split into two.
Like niche use cases.
Yeah. So the unicorn category is like, ooh, like, I need this thing, so I'm going to build it for myself. And I don't know if other people are going to use it, but it's going to make my life super
easy. Unicorn in the sense that's a very special, rare thing, not in the venture capital sense.
There we go. And then the other track in the road is like building stuff like what Marty's doing is building the Nostr version of Spotify, building Nostr version of Google Drive.
Okay. It's which like is what China is doing for absolutely everything.
There we go.
No offense, Marty. I don't mean it in that way.
Marty, we love you.
It's really fantastic.
And you know, so and there is no right or wrong way.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like who, you know, I think a lot of people have this thing like, oh, like if there was more better distribution, then there would be more Nostr adoption. If there was better like a user experience, there would be more Nostr adoption. I don't think there is one answer.
Okay.
And I don't think anyone knows the answer. And I think if we even think we know the answer, then we're like...
It's hubris.
We're just trying to like brainwash ourselves, you
know? Yeah. It's you think the normies have a chance? You think mass adoption is coming on either the Bitcoin or the Nostr side? Anytime soon, next 10 years?
If I look at Vine, at what Rabel built...
Yeah.
Yo! That went viral in a super short space of time.
Before it was live, it went viral already.
Through distribution. Yeah, yeah. And I was like chatting with Rabel the other day, and I was like, hey, yeah, Rabel, like, how did you, where did it even come up to build this? He was like, yeah, no, I was just like doing my podcast, and then a bunch of people just mentioned Vine and how nice it was and how much they miss it. And he's like, I never used Vine before, but I thought, okay, well, I guess I can try build it.
So I mean, he has all the archives. That's what he got going for him as well. That's the first thing he did, right? Like bring back all the old vines because he just has access to the archive.
And that's coming back to your question. It's like, do I think Nostr or Bitcoin will go like, you know, global adoption? If we get a few more unicorns, like, well, Vine is not a unicorn because Vine is built based on previous things. But if we get more things like Vine, it has like Nostr and Bitcoin under the hood. We don't need to explain that the technology is under the hood. It just needs to provide a solution to people. It needs to solve a problem. It needs to be fun.
Yeah.
It needs to have that, you know. Yeah,
I think the fun part is the big one.
The fun part is the big one.
And I think that's also what on the AI side, I think, and we heard people talk about this yesterday, I think. The Nostr crowd can bring to the table, because there is something to be said about using, there was actually Josh's point, AI in an innocent way, which if you're surveilled is very hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, like if someone is looking at your shoulder at all times, it's very hard to experiment and be playful and innocent and so on. And so since the Nostr crowd cares about privacy, and we already have Nostr projects that allow very easy access to private AI systems.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the having fun with it part, like you can ask this thing anything and there won't be any like consequences for you in terms of your accounts being frozen or whatever. Like it doesn't matter how weird it is or whatever. You know, people type weird things into search bars and into ChatGPT all the time, of course.
And I want to ask you that question. What do you think that the Nostr ecosystem needs in terms of its user experience? You're a lot deeper in that rabbit hole than I am. I'm only just getting my toe in.
Yeah, to me, it's very similar to Bitcoin. And I think in general, I think both things just mostly need time. I think on the Nostr side, on the Bitcoin side, it's very easy. Like more people will get deplatformed from things and debanked, and like their accounts will be frozen, like their bank accounts. And, you know, like KYC will bring more friction. And I think Bitcoin will just get better and better and more frictionless. And so like, not everyone makes the switch just because their neobank got suspended because of suspicious activity or whatever. Like the pain tolerance of people is very different. But if it happens like a second time and a third time and the fourth time, then you'll run into Bitcoin eventually, and some of them might stick around. And that's what happened historically. And I think for Nostr, it's similar that, like, if your content is just edgy enough, you'll just be demonetized or deplatformed.
Yeah.
And Nostr will be there for you.
There we go.
So that's kind of, that has been my take on the whole situation for a very long time. I kind of, you know, like, I don't believe in the mass adoption at all costs thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine if it's a niche. I use Linux a lot as an example, where it's just like, Linux was completely laughed at, like, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Like, yeah. It's like completely, like, it was not a serious thing. And it was not a serious thing for a very, very long time. But it was always there and it's always stayed pure.
Yeah.
And eventually it turned itself into a serious thing.
Yeah.
And so in some sense, I care about purity more than about mass adoption. And
yeah.
Because if you water down, that's where it comes back to UX. And I always make this example. If you abstract away a private key on the Bitcoin site and turn it into, like, I forgot my password thing,
yes,
then it's not Bitcoin anymore. You're building Coinbase.
Right.
And so there is a level of abstraction that you must not break. And I use a different example sometimes, which is comparing the post office to email.
Right.
I did this in the past and it actually works. You know, if you know a guy in a country and you know the bar he frequents and you don't even know his name, you can write a postcard and you can make this work that the postcard actually reaches the guy. You know,
yeah.
It's like, it's to whatever, Mike, he's always at this bar on Friday and the bar is here and there and so on. And like the post office will figure it out, it will land at the bar and Mike comes and he'll get the postcard and he'll be happy.
Yeah, yeah.
With email, this will never work.
Mm-mm.
So that's fundamentally different. Email, you need an email address. You can't do it the thing like,
absolutely,
you know, like the post office will figure it out kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And I view like, you know, Bitcoin private keys and also private keys under the same light. Like you destroy a fundamental thing of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
If you remove that abstraction layer and make it easy and make the UX amazing, which is, of course, like I'm describing Coinbase, not that the Coinbase UX is amazing, but you get my point. It's like you make it super easy, you're allowed to forget your password, you can recover at any time and so on, but it means that all the self-sovereignty flies out the window because you're not holding Bitcoin, you're just, you know, you're holding paper Bitcoin, basically.
There we go. There
so
we go.
That's just what we're looking at. And same for Nostr. You know, like if you... There's no way around shifting the burden of responsibility towards the user. If you want to empower users, the other side of the empowerment coin is responsibility.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so
yes,
that's why I'm not like, and it's with other technologies, we're perfectly fine of doing that, like kitchen knives.
Yes.
Cars.
Yes.
It's not easy to drive a car.
Yes.
People need a lot of training.
They
it's
do.
A lot of responsibility.
They do.
But generally, people manage.
They do.
And we're also okay with people having car accidents.
So we are.
In a society we're living in, we know that cars kill so many people, it's not
but
even
funny. But we
still
drive. We still get in.
And we still drive.
We still
and
drive.
That's, I think, the right framework to look at Bitcoin and these kind of UX issues, because it's just like, yes, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot and lose your private key or whatever.
Yeah.
But maybe you do it once.
Right.
And then you learn. And hopefully the mistake isn't like, you know, like maybe hopefully the lesson isn't that expensive.
Yeah. And I have another question for you, like from you, because you've been also in the Nostr ecosystem longer than. I'm very interested to learn how you think, because I'm exploring this with Jeff right now with White Noise, but, you know, how do you think developers and UX designers can work together in the most efficient way? Like, I'm all about efficiency and like, we don't need to have meetings. We don't need to have half an hour, 1 hour meetings. We can get stuff done async. We now talk to our computer, we vibe code. We don't need to type anymore. We don't need meetings, you know?
Yeah.
How do you think, what do you think the relationship looks like for UX designers and developers in the future?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if I have a good answer. Stuff is definitely shifting. So
just think of like something you're building right now, and if you wanted some UX help, like how would you want to work with that person? You know, just think of something you're building or you built, and maybe you want to improve the user experience.
Yeah, I'm trying to line up my thoughts correctly. And line us up correctly as well. No, it's just like this. because the issue that I see right now, it's a very innocent question, but it's the transformation we are going through right now is very weird. You are right in some sense, but I feel like something is getting lost right now, because people don't even read stuff anymore. They have their agents read stuff and summarize stuff and have their agents respond.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a massive issue.
Mm-hmm.
The main reason why I started Sovereign Engineering is because I had this gut feeling that to solve actually hard problem, you need to be in person. And that's not something I came up with myself. That's basically kind of what the best cognitive science research shows, is that we have something that appears only in person, more or less.
Yes.
Tapping into distributed cognition, that's the proper like 4E cog science term.
Okay.
Which is basically, if you have a deep conversation, the conversation is bigger than all the participants and the conversation will go where he wants to go. So there is a spirit.
Just like this. Just like
this. Just like this. And that's why I do this. Like, and it's sovereign engineering is purpose built. It's engineered. The whole program is engineered around this idea. How can you bring people in situations so that this happens? And that's also the magic around conferences, for example. You meet people that you interact online a lot. You kind of know each other. And then you suddenly you have these unlocks. And you suddenly it's like, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. And then it just goes from one thing to the next. And you're cooking and you're getting somewhere.
Absolutely.
And it's not a debate. There is like no goal in mind. It's a complete like, let's just talk and let's just see what happens kind
of
thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there is a certain energy once distributed cognition starts to happen. And we know this, like the colloquial term for it would be like team spirit, for example. You know, like I always use the Chicago Bulls. You know, there is a certain, like if the team is really kind of getting into the groove, the team spirit appears and carries them over the finish line and they win the game and so
fully
on.
Fully on board, yes.
And so everyone knows that this is true and everyone knows that this exists. And there's like, you know, a scientific framework that explains all that and so on and so forth. And so basically, all highly complex problems can't be solved by a single person. It only can be solved with distributed cognition.
Yes.
And I like that you mentioned copy actually as the first point.
Yes.
Because language is a product of distributed cognition. No single person is in charge of language.
Correct.
And language is smarter and wiser than every single individual. Like,
right.
What does it mean to understand something? You're building a mental construct that you can stand under, right?
Yes.
Like that is not brittle and won't fall down and crush you.
Yes.
And every single word is like that and works like that. And
so
language is way, like there's so much wisdom embedded in language and most people are unaware of that wisdom. But when you are using the right words and define the right terms and so on, then you're tapping into that wisdom and that also transfers, you know, in our case, to the user and so on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure what the question was, but
no,
that's
my,
like, thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
No. But you, so the question was, and it's fine because your train of thought makes sense. So I asked you, the question that I asked you was, how do you think the future of UX designers and developers looks like?
Collaboration.
What do you think is
the
most? So then I kind of got the answer.
So, yeah. I think we'll do a lot of stuff, obviously, on Nostr and on GitHub and on like Nostr-based GitHub systems and so on. Collaboration is changing as well on the open source side. The issue is it's so easy right now to create a pull request, create an issue, those kind of things. Open source projects are actually closing down their doors.
They are. I mean, I was speaking, the payment system, I forget it now, the Bitcoin one, Pavlinex, what is it called?
BTC Pay Server.
BTC Pay Server. He's like, oh my God, like managing the...
You're being crushed as a maintainer. That's what's happening right now.
You're being absolutely crushed.
Yeah. And we call these drive-by pull requests because it's like a drive-by shooting, right? It's just like, you window down, Claude gets out the Uzi and it's like 50 new pull requests and it takes you like hours to review the stuff.
So there's another tool, there's another solution to be built is like a tool that basically analyzes whether a pull request is
You use fire to fight fire. Like you use AI to deal with the AI slop and so on.
So what do you, so you use the word collaboration.
Yeah.
And you went back to your in-person events.
Yeah, so I think what we're losing online is, like, and don't get me wrong, there is a hive mind, you know, like Bitcoin Twitter had this and still has this, Nostr has it. There is a, like, everyone knows the Reddit hive mind, for example. So you have distributed cognition as well in an online environment. The issue is that it's the nature of how the online world is structured is not conducive necessarily to dialogue. to healthy dialogue.
100%.
I mean, everyone knows this. Like, there's like flame wars on Twitter.
This conversation that we're having, the spirit that it have, it could never exist online.
No, it's just like, I would, you know, like people aim at other things. They aim at like ratioing other people, for example, on Twitter, you know, like it's, you're not even trying to do a proper rebuttal to the point. You're just trying to ratio the person because it's fucking funny.
Yeah. And you know, the thing as well is, I just want to say, coming back to the term of communication, when you, for me as a UX designer, when I communicate a pull request or an issue on a Bitcoin wallet's repo or on a Nostr repo, they cannot hear my human tone.
Yeah, of course,
when I'm
it goes away.
That request. It goes away.
Yeah.
Right?
And I like that you use the word communication, and I want to point out also, like again, coming back to what's in the words, we obviously have a Bitcoin community and we also have a Nostr community, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm going to use this to push back a little bit on the kind of copy and like phrasing it for normies kind of thought.
Yeah.
Because what does it mean to be a community? It's like, it's the word comes, like if you dissect the word, it's like common unity, right?
That is right.
And so what do Bitcoiners have in common? They understand Bitcoin and they have various reasons for being a Bitcoiner. Most, like two of them, it's like either hyperinflation or the permissionless nature of it, which is basically like they have been debanked or had those kind of issues. That's the big two. There's others. But that's the big two.
Yeah.
And so that's what they have in common. And there's also a common vocabulary. And so like the common unity of Bitcoin is this shared experience, shared worldview, shared vocabulary and so on.
We have
this on Nostr as well. And in the Linux community, for example, you have this as
Same
well.
Thing.
Everyone knows what a shell is. Everyone knows what
and
the kernel is.
And that's what makes you stay in the community because they're speaking your vibe. They're speaking
and that's also
your...
what brings coherence. Yeah. And you need coherence to actually be able to tackle any problem. Like if you don't have coherence is the starting point.
Yeah.
You have to define the terms. You have to defining the terms allows you to define the problem, allows you to, you know, wiggle your way towards a potential solution because there's no solution.
You're making my brain spin. So I'm going to come back to what the question again, because I was like, how does the UX designer and a work together?
My honest answer is in person.
That's exactly what I thought you would say.
But it's at events like this, like it can be a sprint, make it like a couple day sprint and then shift to the online world.
There
and that's
go.
Perfectly fine.
There
but that's why I'm very bullish on like small in-person events. And I know it's hard to do, you know, like it's travel and family and stuff and so on. But that's why Sovereign Engineering is a pure in-person event. Like it wouldn't work otherwise.
Yeah.
It's like multi-week in-person, like take 21 insane people, lock them up. And just we'll be in person for like many weeks and we'll just try to, you know, like hash it out and see if we can, you know, build cool stuff in the spirit of Bitcoin. That's the goal.
Exactly.
Like it's, and I can't say it in a better way. It's like if you don't understand what I mean when I say in the spirit of Bitcoin, then you're already like, please don't sign up, you know, because you're not going to get it. But if I tell a Nostr person that Nostr is built in the spirit of Bitcoin, they will nod along and agree because it's obviously true, you know, like it's like the censorship resistant network. And so
I'm going to challenge you on this one now, and I'm going to, there's two layers. So like the one is the in-person thing, and I am so on board. Like I was just in a hackathon now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had access to a Nostr developer who I could feel the spirit together with.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to build Beansprout, right? This like intelligence layer on Bitcoin wallets.
Yeah. You won an award, right?
It's like, I mean,
let's go.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But like, okay, we're based, we're geographically distributed. We have people living in India. We have people living in South America. We have people living in Africa.
Yeah.
They don't have the financial means to come fly over to an in-person event.
Yeah.
We want to access the talent from all over the world.
Yeah.
We want Bitcoin and Nostr to be built in a decentralized way.
Yeah.
Not only with people from the Western world. Yeah? Because if we tap into the hive mind of the global ecosystem, of the global intelligence, that's where we're going to be able to be like, oh, cool, that South American person has a really unique angle, that African person has a really unique angle. So how do you think we achieve that? Like, I fully agree with you.
Hmm.
I fully agree with you that the in-person is the best.
Yeah.
But because I'm originally from South Africa, you know,
yeah.
I had to like make my way here into this like Western world we live in, you know, and I very much stand very strongly and, you know, want to see more of the international talent, you know, and what I've experienced is I've been giving online developer workshops for online hackathons. So all these developers who have these like hackathons or development communities, they're like, yo, Mo, we need you. Vibe design session, let's go. So I've been doing that as well. But yeah, I'm just like, I'm interested to learn from you because you, it seems you have a model which works like really well. You know, in terms of like hacking and producing developer sources, like I've spoken to at least one person who's come, actually the developer, the Nasty developer I worked with, he came out of your booth. He came
Let's
out
go.
Of your training.
Sovereign engineering
he
alumni.
He came out of it. He was like, it was the best. He was like, it was the best. So how do you think we bring the developers and the designers together in an in-person way and in a non-in-person way?
Yeah,
that
it's
makes
hard.
It accessible for
it's
everyone.
Hard. It's and I faced this problem kind of as an early Bitcoiner, just like having no Bitcoin community.
Yeah.
And like the question basically is, how do you build out a community? Like, how do you build out a community of like-minded people? How do you, what is the common unity, and how do you bring the people together?
Yeah.
And the best way I know how is to put a flag in the ground, be very, very clear what's on the flag.
Okay.
Very clear.
Okay.
Like, that might be cypherpunk. We're back to the one word thing, you know?
Yeah, there we
that
go.
That might be
brilliant.
Assets.
Exactly.
That might be whatever, lightning. That might be, I don't care.
Gotcha.
You know, like mining. It's whatever.
Put the stake
and,
with the one
and,
word.
And I have this kind of framework. I mean, I started the German-speaking Bitcoin-only community together with Markus 21 many years ago. And that's kind of the framework we used, and it works really well. And it was actually successfully replicated in some other countries. And it's, so if someone's interested in that, that's still on 21 World, like 21.world, where I describe kind of how we did that.
Yeah.
And I think you can do the same thing for whatever special niche interests you, because Bitcoin definitely specialized. There isn't like a Bitcoin space anymore.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like there's Lightning,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's Spark, there's mining, there's like whatever, Stretch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's like all kinds of shit. And so on the Nostr side as well, like if you're really interested in, we have lots of musicians on Nostr. If you're interested in kind of reinventing music, and your flag might be anti-Spotify, you know? And just like, let's pay artists again.
All good,
like,
happy
let's,
days.
Let's pay artists their fair share. And how can we make that? You don't even need to mention the N word, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Like you shouldn't mention the B word ever. If you're like, try to get people into Bitcoin, never mention the B word. And so I think that's how you can do it. And then you'll have to attract people locally at first. And then you grow, and that might allow you to travel. And then you take it from there. But it's very hard. There's no silver bullet. And kind of the one thing, like, if anyone tries to do that, my advice is always the same. Three words. Very easy. Consistency, consistency, consistency. You have to be willing to, you know, like, literally be alone for, like, 21 weeks. I always go, like, do it for 21 weeks.
Yeah.
And my other piece of advice is, like, don't start it alone. Don't, like, you have to be two people. Find one other person.
You have to collaborate.
You have to, because alone and being two is very different.
Yeah.
It's very, it makes, it's having like a gym buddy, right? Going to the gym alone or having a gym buddy, world of difference.
And don't find co-founders who think exactly like you and who agree with you all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you also shouldn't hate each other,
no,
you know?
No,
it's
no,
like
no,
your
no,
co-founder is marriage.
Yeah.
So
no,
it's
no,
like,
no.
There
no.
should be a healthy amount of friction, but it shouldn't be a carbon copy, of course.
So coming back to my question, you feel it's the in-person that's going to be the biggest, because then there's the spirit that exists.
To work effectively with people, you have to know them really well and you have to trust them. And I think the only way to really build up trust is in person. That said, we're working on trustless technology and so on. Like you can get to know people online. It absolutely works.
It's just
a longer process and a more arduous process. And I think it's all about kind of the middle way, finding the balance between in-person and online collaboration.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just rainbowing it here, right? I'm just saying whatever's coming to my mind. So like, based on the principle that you have these cohorts, like what, four times a year?
That's unclear, between two and four times.
Okay,
all good. Yeah.
So
we're still figuring it out.
So there could be like and then they're like meeting, they're hacking, they're building, they're learning how to build.
It's all in Madeira. Like, Sovereign Engineering is a very specific program with a very strict structure.
Yeah.
And it's in Madeira for a reason. Reason number one, I'm there.
Okay.
Reason number two, it's very hard to get to. It's very hard to leave.
Perfect. you put them in a jail, dude.
Yes.
You get them in the jail so no, that they 100%, can be focused.
That's the
building.
Reason. It has to be something like that. Gotcha. I actually took inspiration from the Bitcoin Bush Bash people. They do that in the Australian bush.
Okay.
Those meetups. And same idea. It's very, very hard to get there. Like you don't drive for 15 hours and go through lots of pain. And then you just leave again instantly. You just don't do that.
No, you're running a marathon to get there.
You know, like in for a penny, in for a pound kind of situation.
Gotcha.
Like if you make the effort to come, you're going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And for sovereign engineering, that's crucial because like there will be periods where you want to leave. It really sucks. It's like this, you know, this hot yoga thing where like they lock themselves in.
Oh, I love
in.
The hot yoga.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And it's like you do like, I don't know how many hours of like, you know, 80 or 100 degree Fahrenheit and you just basically die. You want to leave always, you know?
Yeah.
And so they lock the door, so you're not allowed to leave. And that's basically the idea. But that's also in terms of, you know, like that really, like you can't wear a mask for such a prolonged period of time. You really get to know people. And that's where like the real magic usually starts happening at like week two.
That's what he said.
That's like end of week two. That's where things kind of, that's where the whole thing gets a mind of its own and it's just started to move in one direction and it's just everyone goes with the flow.
Now I like where we're going with this because it's around this philosophical way of you need to lock yourself in a room and focus on one thing to go really deep into that subject.
Yeah.
And we have this attention economy which our attention
completely counter to that.
Which is the complete opposite to that. So I think if we really want to get shit done, it's about, similar to your boot camps that you have, the sovereign engineering is you get everyone together and it's like, hey, listen, this is what's up. There's no this, there's no that, there's no let me just vibe on my project I'm building. Yo, we're just focusing on this one thing. And that's what we're focusing on for this period. And if you feel you can dedicate your time to doing that in these few days, great, let's roll.
Yeah.
And then you're going to like really, really make impact, right? Then you're going to go.
Yeah,
like,
if you're lucky, you figure something out that's kind of new and hopefully useful.
There we go.
That's what we're aiming at. I have to be honest. First of all, I have no idea where we are now.
I do not know where we are.
And second of all, I'm kind of all out of steam. What about you?
I feel like we talked it all out.
All right. Any last words? Any famous last words?
Builders, keep on building freedom tech. We freaking love you.
I actually have a last question for you. It's like, how can people help you in your specific mission?
I'm going to be building a lot of things in the next year because I've become a builder.
All right.
Developers, I'm going to be reaching out to you and asking you, how are you building and how can we collaborate together in the most effective way? So if they can just reach out to me, just slide into my Nostra DMs and be like, yo, Mo, we want to learn how to work better together. And I think that this is the best way to work together. Just slide into my DMs, shoot whatever comes out of your brain.
Fantastic.
And I'd love to just speak with them.
Awesome, awesome.
That's it. Simple as that.
Same for me. Slide into my DMs, send me all the stuff. I'll never read it.
I mean, we're all in this together, yeah? So, like, this is a community of builders. And thank you to all of the builders who spend their time, energy, and pain building upon this technology. That's not always the easiest to build. Because I know sometimes it's not even possible.
It's not even
like mathematically possible, some of the stuff people are building.
But at the end of it, you know the saying, happiness is shipping. That's one of the sovereign engineering mottos.
Just ship
models.
It. And happiness just do stuff. Shipping. Just build stuff.
You can just do stuff.
Just build stuff.
That was great. Big hug.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for indulging me.
Absolutely. Thank you for the questions and for the walk. This is so much better than a podcast.
Yeah, I'm telling everyone. It's great, right?
It's like, why do you... You don't need to edit stuff and like edit out all the truth. Just keep everything in.
Just send it.
Do it.